Well, hello everybody out there in music video land. That's my line, like an old-timey DJ. Welcome to the Music Video Land podcast, this week in music video roundup. My name is Adam Fairholm of IMVDB.com. This podcast is brought to you by IMVDB, the Internet Music Video Database. With me, as usual, is Mr. Douglas Klinger in an undisclosed location with palm trees. Doug, how are you?
Doing super good, Adam. Palm treeing it up. Palm treeing it.
And then we have Mr. Adam Alexander, also in an undisclosed location with Tim Hortons. Adam, how are you?
And might I add, snow, and I'm well. We had snow today.
No way. Yeah, wow.
There's no palm trees.
That's so different. We have so many different climates here. And I should also add that Adam is of Fringe Music Fix, which you can find at fringemusicfix.com. We're all here to talk about this week in music videos. This is Thursday, November 7th, so we're talking about the first week in November. We're really getting the slow time, guys. This is the slow time. Like we've mentioned, October was we actually just sent our, like, you know, kind of did an October roundup internally earlier this week, and there was like 500 music videos released. I think the number one was Pour It Up by Rihanna, directed by Rihanna. You know, November's looking shaped up to be a pretty slow month so far, but one item or one event that has happened that kind of kicked off November that I think we should definitely spend a little bit of time talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It's the first YouTube Music Awards. Hands up for people who watch the YouTube Music Awards.
My hands are up.
As well as mine.
This was an event that in the top 15, I think, that accounts for almost all of the music videos that were in the YouTube Music Awards.
Oh, all of them are in the top 15?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Definitely Arcade Fire and Eminem are in there, as well as the Avicii little medley they have in there.
And then those are in the top 10, and then you got Earl and MIA up in the top 15. Did we even add the did we even add the Lady Gaga one to the database?
I don't think so. I had a problem with that one as well. Well, Lindsey Stirling is crystallized, is sitting at number 11 right now. But we should talk a little bit about what the concept of this show was and its failures and its successes, because you know, like we all know, there are a lot of award shows, the Grammys, the MTV, VMAs, and those kind of follow the same format. They're on a stage in some sort of, you know, performance hall, and they have performances, and they have awards, and they have little skits sometimes, you know, blah, blah, blah. And although they may have, you know, interesting moments, like the whole Miley Cyrus, Robin Thicke thing from the last year's, or a few months ago with the VMAs, they pretty much follow the same kind of formula. So the YouTube Music Awards had a few interesting things that they decided they were going to do, and they kind of build this as a really different event. One of them, which was the most interesting to us, was the concept of a live music video. And the idea behind the live music video is that they would have actual, like, directors attached to them. Usually, you know, there are people who are in charge of different performances, and these performances can get really ornate in different, you know, award shows, but...
And also, it's typically music video production companies that are involved in the recreations. You know, for example, Black Dog was involved heavily in recreating the Miley Cyrus Robin Thicke performance at the VMAs.
That's true. And so this time, these were actually kind of billed as, well, live music videos, but they also had really, you know, well-known music video directors attached to them. Even for, like, the Lindsey Stirling Crystallize video, I was really happy to see Ray Tintori, who is a great music video director, helming. They didn't really call them directors. They kind of alternated between, like, orchestrated by and created by.
Some got a director credit.
Yeah, they really changed
the the Arcade Fire one did.
Did it? Okay, and that was Spike Jonze, yeah. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Arcade Fire one did. I think Sasquatch did. A couple of them were did get directed by, and then I think the Eminem one might have gotten directed by too. But anyway, like you mentioned, they were definitely a lot more complex video wise than standard VMA performances, which is normally just like kind of a, the same cameras that they're shooting the show with. Whereas these were like, there were camera movements and the camera placement was something that was obviously very part of the plan. Part of the plan was the camera movements and stuff, particularly in the Eminem one and in the Arcade Fire one, which where the camera movement was very important to the narrative and the concept of the video.
And even for the Sasquatch by Earl Sweatshirt featuring Tyler the Creator, the director credit was Wolf Haley, which is Tyler the Creator's director moniker. So it even went, that far. And now, so this kind of created a problem for us because one of our things in the rules there, which we've had to kind of bend as we see fit, is the live performance aspect. We've regularly rejected videos for being live performances. But we kind of felt like this was being specifically called out as official videos. And I'm not even sure going forward if Arcade Fire, like Earl Sweatshirt, are going to use these as official videos. But they definitely were released, and but they were not released on their individual Vevo accounts, for instance. They were just released on a kind of a one main, MTV or Jesus, why do I keep doing that? YouTube Music Award account. So this was like the like a perfect storm of being tricky for us, and we decided to put them in the database anyway.
Yeah, I think, and I think it was obviously the right call. I was involved in the decision to put them in there. I would call these, particularly the Arcade Fire one, and the MIA one, and even the Eminem one. I think, because there are such things as a live music video, and there have been examples of them. Like what was the what's the Jay-Z and Kanye West song? Is that N Words in Paris?
Yeah, that's the
That
one.
that's the one. N Words in Paris. It was a live music video. There are music videos with live performances in them that are still official music videos. I think the ones that you're talking about that we typically reject are more like people just filming live performances, not music videos. But these are music videos, with a lot of them with a narrative or a kind of a visual kind of style or gimmick to them. It wasn't just like a over the top live performance that was filmed. It was it you know they had goals to make kind of a complete piece with these. And they I actually personally think that they are better as standalone pieces on YouTube instead of as pieces part like that were part of that messy, ridiculous award show, because I feel like when I was watching the award show, it had a very interesting kind of like pre-show attached to it. And then it was like kind of a cool little like live performance with Reggie Watts and Jason Schwartzman. And then they went right into that Arcade Fire video, which with directed by Spike Jonze and featuring Greta Gerwig. And I was like, holy shit, this is going to be so awesome. I'm so stoked. This is going to be amazing. And then they cut immediately to Schwartzman and Reggie Watts again, and they have no script, and they're just umming and ad-libbing their way through the nonsense, and it was just like immediate drop off for
That
me.
sounds familiar. I'm making nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was, man. That's what they do. They were on the IMDb podcast level of preparedness, because they just like it was just nonsense. It was nonsense, and it like. They were set up to look like idiots, Schwartzman and Reggie Watts were, because despite being like Reggie Watts, pretty much his whole act is improvised music. Like you can't host a show without direction, because things happen. And what ended up happening was just like a dude kept walking up to them, like being like, oh, okay, it's gonna be this now. And then they would just repeat what that weird dude said. Like he was like breaking out ladders and stuff for them. They were climbing over walls. Rashida Jones literally just randomly handed them babies. Like it was very strange. Like you could tell the award show itself was trying to be strange. And I think that confusion took away from these performances, which ended up being, you know, like incredibly well planned and well executed live music videos. You know, I just think the show itself kind of sandbagged the presentation of those videos, and so therefore, once they kind of hit YouTube as standalone pieces, I think they actually improved.
Yeah, I agree. I think they were probably just, hoping that if the ingredients were right for the show, that something cool would just emerge. They had Spike Jonze and like all these great directors were all on board, and the hosts, like they're cool hosts that all sounded good on paper, but then you're right, without the direction, it didn't really emerge into much.
Well, they made, excuse me, they made so much out of the no script thing, and you could tell that, and I've I have flown with no script on sort of much lower scales. Like, let's say you're doing like a, I don't know, presentation or something like that in school or whatever, back in, college or whatever, and you're like, you know what, I have a feeling like this could either go really bad or I could just get in a groove and we could just be like flying. And then, most of the time, you get into that environment and you're like, oh shit, like this is a complete disaster. And you could tell, like, within the first 20 seconds or so, or within the first 10 seconds, I think they just realized, like, oh shit, like, we have, like, Jason Schwartzman and Reggie Watts had no chemistry together whatsoever.
No, try as they might.
And the little, the Reggie Watts little musical interludes with Jason Schwartzman on the drum kit
Yeah,
just
it
didn't
was.
work.
I mean,
I
I
have to
thought
say,
that.
I have to say, I did like those little musical interludes. That was one of the things that kind of held it together for me, besides the live music videos. I thought they sounded cool. I didn't really know that. I don't know. I didn't mind them. I didn't mind those.
Yeah, I think I'm with Adam on those. I didn't mind those little interludes either. I'm a big like Reggie Watts fan, and I don't hate Jason Schwartzman the way Adam Fairholme does. And so I think I was okay with those little interludes. But like the rest of the show, pretty much like anything that wasn't those or the live music videos was just. Was horrible, and the funniest thing is like Spike Jonze's fucking face at the end. It just to me seemed like he like this is exactly what Spike Jonze wanted. He wanted Jason Schwartzman and Reggie Watts to not know what the fuck they were doing. He wanted people to like watch it and be like, "What is happening? Like, why are there babies?" Like, just like I like he seemed really pleased at the end of the show. I don't know if you guys kind of gathered that
Yeah,
same,
for
but
sure.
he seemed like he was like jackpot. We did this. We
And the
did this.
weirdest, like the weirdest venue, like they couldn't find the presenters and they couldn't find the winners' names, and it was like they literally, it was just this big like high school gymnasium of confusion.
Which is weird when you think of the level of people they had for this. I mean,
It just scattered amidst it.
yeah, it just like now we didn't add the Lady Gaga one because I think, and Doug and I think we were in agreement on this. We felt it was too much of just a live performance.
Yeah, and that was the one that definitely said documented by also by Spike Jonze and Chris Milk, which to me meant they had the cameras in their hands. And it was just two cameras and Lady Gaga dressed as like a hipster, and that was it. Like that was the
A
extent of that.
hipster.
Yeah, she was kind of hipstered out, right? She
I
had the
just
flat.
saw a trailer, like a trailer park truck driver, maybe.
Yeah, I saw the truck driver thing with the hat,
I
definitely.
was thinking hipster. I mean, it was flat billed, and she had like a button, and her button up was the top button was buttoned. If you've got a button up and your top button's buttoned, you're a hipster. That's hipster right there. If you're a trucker, you've got unbuttoned, and that once you've got that button, that neck button going, you're hipster. And she was,
Well,
and the hat was to
we'll
the side.
agree that she was sad. She was definitely off of her medication. She was sad. We'll agree on that.
She was depressed and not manic. Okay, I get it.
That's a great song too that she released that ahead of Art Pop being released, and I think "Dope" is a great recorded song. I didn't care for the live performance, but there were just I wanted to bring up one like my favorite moment out of all of this. That was not one of the music videos that showed, I think, the confusion of this. is Taylor Swift won for some award, but it was award definitely for her at her music video. I can't remember
what
it was.
Yeah, that made no sense.
And then she wasn't there, obviously, which is weird because, you know, everybody else there was kind of on the level of a Taylor Swift, but just like some people who covered her stuff on YouTube that like covered her songs and made their own videos and put them on YouTube came up and accepted the award for her. I felt like that was kind of like a Rosetta Stone moment where it's like, oh, okay, this is where YouTube is confused, because they had these, like, oh, leading up to the show, there were these great little like 10-15 minute documentaries about like the one shot music video, where they had like Patrick Daughters and all these other great music video directors talking about the art of the one shot music video. And, you know, this is definitely not like the typical like red carpet stuff. But then when you got into the actual thing, you know, the Tay Zonday was there.
Yeah, man. That was the moment for me, dude. I was like, they hit us with the awesome Arcade Fire video. And then there was like a bunch of weirdness. And then they're like, all right, here's our next act. And it was a medley, which right off the bat, idiots. Like having a medley of any sorts, like of course, like that's an award show thing. Like they did Taylor's or Robin Thicke did a medley, but like this was a medley of just like shit YouTube songs for the most part. Like just not. It's not real music. And then, yeah, Tay Zonday pops out, and I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. Here we are. This is the YouTube I know. And, yeah, it was weird. It's interesting, though, to see the, you know, like it's interesting to see, like, what videos, like, which of those videos was the most popular. Are you guys surprised that it ended up being the Eminem one?
Not really, no. Just because Eminem has his album coming out this week or last week, right?
I think it came out this week, yeah, or at least it like came out for listening to, and also he, like I don't like I was an like a pretty big Eminem fan in high school, and I think like every day since then I've become less and less of an Eminem fan, and like I don't like this album at all, don't like Rap God at all, but I thought that his performance of Rap God was actually pretty great, especially coming off that horrible showing on SNL where you hear his backing vocals better than you hear him. Like, I feel like he kind of had something to prove, which is rare for somebody at the level of Eminem. And I think he actually did a pretty good job with that performance. Do you guys have an opinion on that?
No.
Okay.
No, I do. It's
it was good for a live performance. I'm pretty neutral on Eminem at this point, but it was a decent performance. I'd agree with that. He seemed strangely when they talked to him after the performance or at some point later they were speaking to him, and he definitely seemed pretty keyed up, like unusually so. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, well, and his performance was late too. Like they definitely like were killing time between.
Yeah, they went back. Yeah, he did. They went back to like to some weird like playing, and then like that's it.
Actually, is that when we had? That's when we had. I wanted to talk about that. The behind the scenes, quote unquote, was hilarious. Yeah. Did you guys?
So good. They showed like the other cameras. No, it was.
That was
so.
I feel like that might have been like a way, way back pocket thing. Like, we're not pulling this out unless we're like hurting guys, you know?
Yeah, unless Eminem doesn't come out on time. A first fucking performance at a live show. Oh, man. Yeah, we knew it was bad. Like, it really, like, Arcade Fire had not even left the stage and things had started falling apart after that great music video, because they even like went up and they're like, this is live, guys, like it got awkward immediately, and so it's great.
Just coming back, one more thing I want to add to, like, going back to what Adam was talking about, the internet phenomenon category, if I'm understanding what that was exactly. Is it also weird that would be the winner of that and not the Harlem Shake, which was clearly the actual YouTube phenomenon of the year?
Well, it was voted on, right? I think that category was
They voted on it. Okay.
Yeah, I think that was a fan voted category. And so
What was the category though? It's like what video like kind of just blew up on YouTube and people made like covers of it and whatnot. Yeah. Is that what that was all about?
I have no idea what any
Why
of the
would you vote on that? Okay.
I have no idea like what, cuz like music video of the year like Epic Rap Battles of History was nominated, and like as cool as Epic Rap Battles of History are, and I've laughed at everyone I've watched pretty much, like they do great impressions of people, and they're pretty funny and they're creative, like those are not music videos at all. They're videos with music in them, but like that's not a thing that I would ever put, that we would ever put in this database, and that like any other music video news outlet would be discussing. Like those are not at all music videos. And so I don't know if YouTube is just, like what encouraged them to do that, whether they're just like trying to give it up to like their content creators or what, but like it was little things like that that like made me just completely ignore like whatever awards portion even was, like that none of the awards like I give a shit about at all.
There
and then they
definitely
gave them
some confusion. The award was a
go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, there was definitely some confusion about what they wanted this to be, whether they wanted it to be about like established artists or content creators. And if they wanted to do both, then they should have divided the categories in a clearer way to, you know, to highlight if it's a person that made this video or if it's like an actual artist. They didn't do that. They tried to combine it.
And in a little way, in kind of a way that reflects the messiness of YouTube, because it is a messy platform that consists of, you know, a few different things. I mean, YouTube gets pulled in a lot of directions. In one direction, they have, you know, the music videos, which are, you know, by far their biggest content, you know, pieces. And, you know, by far the biggest content pieces are the ones licensed from Vivo. But on the other hand, you know, they are very pushing very hard in the direction of, you know, the user generated content, people creating channels and people making, you know, money off of, you know, making YouTube videos. So they have a few different, you know, directions that they're being pulled, and I think this award show kind of showcased that a little bit.
So do you guys have a favorite of all the live music videos? Which one's your faves?
For me, it was by far Afterlife by Arcade Fire. I thought that was such like a well-done video. And it even makes up for Win Butler coming and doing his little Kanye impression later in the show.
Yeah, that was bad.
In the Ramones t-shirt, that was a cringe moment for me. But I thought the dancing and the... It was also a moment of hope for the whole show that just kind of got shot. And my second would definitely be Earl Sweatshirt's performance.
What'd you guys think of the MIA one?
I loved it. That would probably be my second.
I'm a huge
fan of that track. I'm like obsessed with MIA. So,
and just what they were able to pull off as a live show performance. Like I feel like that one, the Arcade Fire one, was very complex too, as far as like stage design and set.
Yeah,
and like
especially and like a single take, right? Like that's a single take. They go and it was like, and the camera pans back really long and far and like no cuts. It was cool. That Arcade Fire one blew me away. Definitely the best one.
It was great. But they all had something. Even like the, you know, the Eminem one was pretty simple. Like, compared to the Arcade Fire one, sure, but like they still like pulled off the look that they were going for, and it still like really felt like a Syndrome video, you know what I mean? Like it definitely had that influence there, which you can't really, like, it's not often you see a live performance at an award show and be like, oh, that's a Syndrome video, you know what I mean? Like being able to pick out the people behind it and have that confirmed by a Chyron, like it was just I was impressed by pretty much all of those performances, short of the Lady Gaga one.
And
so,
Adam, you say that the Arcade Fire one was your number one?
Yeah, definitely.
And Doug?
Yeah, I'm going with that too.
Also, the Avicii one was off-putting for me. Like, I know that I know it was I can't think of her name right now, but the writer of Girls is the one that scripted the dialogue in that little one. And I do love Girls. Yeah, and I do like her. I like what she does. I know she's got a huge bunch of people that don't like her as well, but I'm not on that side of it. But I just didn't feel that it. Well, it wasn't a that one didn't even have the feel of a music video. It was more just like a scene from Girls with a little bit of Avicii in the background. That one didn't work. And then they tried to throw in the choose your own adventure piece, and everyone said they should die. And I was like, what is happening right now? Yeah, that one failed. I think I preferred the Lady Gaga one to that.
You know, it's weird when you can tell, when you can, like, picture the, I hate when you can picture the pitch that went along with it, or, like, the won't this be cool kind of thing. And that one, the choose your adventure thing, definitely had a won't this be cool, guys, kind of thing, especially, and the same with, like, the try to find the winner in these cakes. You know, there were a lot of moments where...
I don't know who thought that fucking shit was cool. Cakes.
Doug?
No, well, my shit's dumb, but since we stopped, I was going to say, in case anyone's wondering, I'm now off the Lena Dunham train. I was a big Girls fan in season one. No more. No more for me. No more Lena. All right. You guys. Whatever you guys can
say. So I just wanted to just since it's not on any of our one or two list, the Crystallized video by Lindsey Stirling, just wanted to bring it up because I think it may have been one of the, aside from the MIA video, one of the most technically ambitious ones.
Right?
What's that?
Is she the violin?
She's the violin, yeah. And she, and I just wanted to bring it up because I want to see more Ray Tintori videos. He's a fantastic director. He is the director that did a lot of the videos for the first MGMT album, so like Electric Feel and Time to Pretend and Kids. I love those videos, and I was excited to see him doing the live video there.
She's a like a YouTube star as well. That was another one I was kicking around not posting because she's like, she's also, you know, she's got just like a really popular YouTube channel. She kind of came up through YouTube.
Just I think weird, she has maybe some legitimate, like her own actual releases now, though. Like,
no, she does, and that's why I put it. So
I would say she belongs.
Yeah, she does, but she is like a YouTube person. Were those guys part of the medley? Yeah, they were, right? The dudes walk off the earth.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Okay, that's it. I don't know. I'm not going in with that.
Now, the last point I think we need to bring up with the YouTube Music Awards is the ratings, because this is one of those interesting instances where we can see the ratings right there. And I think there were high hopes for the ratings, because I think YouTube touted a number somewhere around the 60 million mark for the amount of votes that were tabulated. Not 60 million people, I believe, but just 60 million votes.
Yeah.
So I was, before it, I kind of jotted down like a my rough estimate, and I was like, well, they're gonna crack like a million at some point, I'm sure, because you can see it, the number goes up and down, so it's a really interesting watching experience.
Yeah.
And the top that I recorded was 223,000 views, and it usually hovered around 160, 170, which I thought was obscenely low for this kind of thing, especially given the level of people. If it was a bunch of, you know, people that if Arcade Fire was like the top people they got, and they just like they were reaching to get that, I would definitely understand that. But they had, you know, some of the top pop stars in the world. I mean, you know, Lady Gaga and you know, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis and Eminem. I mean, it was a star-studded event, and I have to feel like the people who are, I mean, I feel like this is like going to be a tough event to put on a second year, because I don't know if they can justify those, what. Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, getting those big names again.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, if, I don't know if, like, is Arcade Fire going to be able to justify putting on like that live music video for, you know, 160,000 live views? I'm sure that yeah, they get that they get. I mean, they're at like six and a half 100,000. A
Yeah,
week
but
a weekend, but you know that would have done it anyway if they just made a straight video, you know.
yeah, not and Eminem would have had 10 million, you
Right.
know, instead of two. And they even like tried some stuff. They even changed the screen, the thumbnail for the Eminem one to like make it seem like it might actually be a regular music video and stuff. Like they tried to ride that Eminem wave. And now my question is this: for the ratings for the VMAs, now you might not have this answer, but for the rating for the VMAs, if 10 million people watch the VMAs, does that mean 10 million people watched the whole thing? Or does that mean that 10 million people watched it at least one, at least like at all, like tuned into the channel for 5 minutes? You know, because the audience could have been renewing on the YouTube Music Awards. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was hovering around 160,000 that whole time, but that could have been, you know, every 20 minutes could have been a different 160,000 people. You know, just losing audience members and regaining them. Kind of like you know, like radio.
I don't know how Nielsen does it, because I think we're talking about Nielsen ratings, and I know they've gotten more sophisticated in the last, 6 or 7 years or so. But I actually I don't know. I would assume that it is for like that 10 million, that definitely not people that watched it all the way through. I think they have
Yeah.
a marker, like YouTube, I think has a marker of like what they count as a view. You don't have to watch the whole thing all the way through, but
Right.
it's that'd be interesting because the number was obviously measuring concurrent users, and I'm sure like over time it was maybe double or triple that. But even that, you're not even I'd be hard pressed. I would estimate, total no more than 500,000 people saw the show on Sunday.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know because most of the people like most of the people I know who watched it who weren't like are like definitely gonna watch the whole thing and like live tweeting it along with us. Like I talked to people like a few people who were kind of just like casual watchers and they were like, "Yeah, I thought it was cool. I watched it for about 20 minutes." So, like that's somebody who's giving it like a positive review and watched a third like not even a third of the show. Like how long was the show? An hour and a half, 2 hours?
90 minutes,
So,
yeah.
yeah, so like if they only watched it for 20 minutes, like they only got a really small piece of it. So I'm curious about that, what that means, you
What was
know.
the Twitter activity like during the show? I know like for the VMAs or whatever, like everyone's tweeting about it. I wasn't paying attention to Twitter throughout. Was there activity or?
Not nearly what it would be like for the VMAs, that's for sure.
Yeah,
Right.
most of it was people dumping on it,
Well,
honestly.
yeah, of course, but that's the VMAs too. Normally, there's a lot
No,
of
that's
that.
true. It's true. And even
I
like
it was
afterwards,
quiet. It was a
even
quiet night.
afterwards, like I w at first I was like, oh, well, yeah, but they're gonna put these videos out one by one, and all those videos are gonna get their own individual view counts and stuff. But it's not like Miley Cyrus's performance after the VMAs didn't get its own individual view counts after the show, and I guarantee it was more than 150 or excuse me, 1.5 million or whatever. You know what I mean? It was not like I'm a little disappointed about the showing of these videos. I thought, especially because of how cool some of them are. I mean, Arcade Fire can put out a single with like could put out a YouTube video where the footage is just their album cover, and that's going to get 500,000 views. So, you know, to have a Spike Jonze directed music video show up in the database and it's not like people shitting themselves to see it, which I don't know why someone would do that. It just I am a little disappointed by the numbers, but like. I think it was Hiro Murai who tweeted this. Like, he tweeted that he's like, I'm enjoying this, but I'm trying to figure out who the target audience is. And that's an interesting question. Like, who is the target audience for that show? What age group? What demographic? What, you know, person? Who were they trying to reach specifically? Like, the VMAs, I think, has always been kind of MTV in general. Has got its target age group, has always had its target age group, and I think that maintains, you know, it's still like teenagers and you know early or people in their early 20s, you know what I mean? That's who they've always been after, and the VMAs continue to reflect that. You know, I don't think Reggie Watts and Jason Schwartzman appealed to a 17-year-old high school girl, and so
yeah, I mean, no matter what, this like the whole production looked like a Brooklyn warehouse art piece.
Mm-hmm.
That it all just had like a washed out look to it, and it was, you know, nobody, you know, Mika Brzezinski doesn't want to talk about Jason Schwartzman and, you know, Reggie Watts, who I'm sure she's never heard of Reggie Watts before, you know, she doesn't want to recap the fact that, you know, Arcade Fire, you know, had some other person she's never heard of dancing around, you know, on a live music video on some weird YouTube thing the night before. I mean, it's a hard sell, but I think that they need to make some production changes if they're going to do this again.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of production changes.
Most popular music videos of the week.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, a lot of them in our list. I think we already have like a framework to talk about a lot of these because I'm seeing a lot of repeat. Well, we already talked about a few of them.
Did you guys watch the One Direction video? There was a huge, massively popular video this week. 20 million views in a couple of days for One Direction, which is pretty massive. That was as much as Britney Spears and Rihanna's video put together a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a weird week because it was like the number one video is the number one video by like 19 million views.
By 10 times.
Yeah, so we should talk about. It was directed by Ben Winston, and "Story of My Life" is one of those. It's a sentimental song, and the video is very sentimental. And it's like it's them in a like do old fashioned photo lab stuff in a photo lab, developing pictures, and they are in the pictures, and it's definitely. You know, they just did that. They just did that best song ever deal, which was, you know, like a funnier video. And now here comes the serious side.
And that was also directed by Ben Winston. That best song ever video.
It was, yeah,
yeah. This and let's not forget, they all look super handsome.
Mm. Adam, handsome. Do you agree they look super handsome?
Yeah, they're handsome guys.
Who's your favorite?
I'm not on a first name basis, unfortunately.
You don't know Harry Styles?
I've heard the name, but I couldn't pick him out of the litter.
He's the super handsome one. He's the extra handsome one.
No, there's no V-necks. None of them have V-necks on, which is confusing to me. One guy has
no, but the guy on the left has a pretty swooping low U-neck going on. It doesn't have a collar.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a wide scooped V-neck. You gotta have toned shoulders to pull that one off. One of the guys is rocking and like they do a little bit of a Mumford & Sons thing fashion wise for some of them, but
suspenders, the vest,
and the vest is definitely a Mumford & Sons type thing. But I thought this is kind of a good move. I mean, this is a quiet week and a quiet time for music videos. And honestly, One Direction has not been like piercing the top, you know, the view counts lately in terms of like explosive view counts. So this is, the other one that they did, the best song ever, has 151 million views, but it wasn't like it got like the 20 million in the first week. This was a really big hit for them.
Yeah, it's a big video. I think they're still probably the biggest like boy band out. I think like if they put out a video and Bieber put out a video on the same day, One Direction would have more views.
Oh yeah, Bieber. I mean, well, it's been a bit of a it's been a tough week for Canadians in general. Would you agree, Adam?
Yeah, I'd agree. It's pretty.
Yeah, did you have a tough week, Adam? How was your week?
No, mine was fine. Mine was good.
Good.
So I sometimes click over to Huffington Post Canada just to see what's going on. And like I did it today and it was like wall to wall, Rob Ford, Justin Bieber videos.
Oh, it was a tough week for Rob Ford.
I know all about the Ford stuff, but I missed the Bieber stuff. What's going on with Bieber?
He got caught with some prostitutes.
Oh, yes. Which is a Brazilian prostitute. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I did catch that.
So what did she filmed him, right? He was sleeping after having sex with a prostitute, and she filmed him. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, but she's, you know, like I guess any person would be, if they have Justin Bieber sleeping in their bed, why not pull your phone and do a little selfie? But the real question that I have is, you know, music videos, and one of our videos in the top 10 reflects this a little bit. Music videos sometimes like to tie in the pop culture things, and I'm really interested to see when we're going to see the first instance of like a Rob Ford parody in a music video. And I'm hoping like in 2 weeks we're going to start seeing that.
maybe it'll be a Patrice Wilson video.
Is no, that possible? I don't know. And you're referring to A B C D E F G.
I am.
Which bizarrely. This was a dumb song. It was not nearly as good as Chinese Food, and it has 283K.
I think with this one they were just like, let's see how fucking dumb we can be and get away with it. Let's see how senseless and dumb. And then the concept of the video, did you guys watch it? Where it's just like a Patrice Wilson, either regular Patrice Wilson or a Patrice Wilson puppet, just like pouring different types of potion or poison.
It's like spiking 11-year-old girls' drinks in what appears to be a club with different potions. Really?
That is just,
at the end, she eats her friend. She, like, her friend turns into a plate of Chinese food, and she eats the egg roll.
So her, Patrice Wilson is just, like, he is a rock star bad decision-making, and this video is just full of it. It is so weird.
He's a rock star of bad decision-making, and parents continue to give him their 11-year-olds to make bad decisions for. It's like, oh, you're a crazy person who makes videos? Here's my child. Fuck their life up for me, please. And here's gobs of money to do it.
Rebecca Black landed on her feet, though. You got to admit that. We did also have a Declan Whiteplume video this week, which I was excited about. And this one is a tie-in. Does anybody know the movie this is a tie-in for? This is Demi Lovato, Let It Go. I think it's
Frozen, right? Is it called Frozen?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Actually, yeah,
Disney's Frozen. It's November 27th. Mm-hmm. November 27th, Frozen. See it in theaters.
I'm going to go see it in theaters.
I probably will, too.
Yeah, you guys definitely should. Neither of you have seen Gravity. But you guys will definitely
see Frozen. I have seen Gravity. I have seen Gravity.
I have seen it
last week.
Did you see it in 3D?
I did. It was mind-blowing. It was excellent. Loved it.
Fucking mind-blowing.
If you guys want to know about mind-blowing, I'm going to see the stage production of Elf in another week.
God. Dude, I've seen it. I saw it in fucking New York.
No way. How bad is it?
I mean, it was the worst. Is
this Will Ferrell, Will Ferrell's Elf? No,
of course. I mean, yes, that's the story. But it's just like this big fucking fat asshole playing Elf. And when I saw it, Santa was played by Newman. It was off. It's all you're gonna hate it. You're gonna hate it. Oh, I can't wait to hear you talk about it.
I hate these sort of. This sort of idea of like, we haven't, like, this thing is popular, let's squeeze some stuff out of it, let's make it into a video game. And I hate the idea of like a play being just like another outlet for like squeezing cash out of stuff. So they're like, let's make this movie into a play. It makes no sense. I saw the Lion King Broadway thing like 10 years ago. And I even hated it for that reason as well.
At least that is its own thing. It's like a spectacle. Like the way that they made those costumes and stuff. I mean, people ate that shit up. Like this is just a fucking fat guy doing a Will Ferrell impression. I mean, that's all it is. That is all it is. My ex-girlfriend loved it, but it was so bad. It was so bad.
I like to see something that is definitely not intended for an adaptation to a Broadway play, like something like the Evil Dead one. To me, I'm interested in that because it shouldn't happen. in it, and they've done it. They've made it into one. Like, have you guys seen that one? Is that like
a, no?
I didn't know they
I wonder
did that.
What that.
That would be awesome. Just, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe that's a Canadian thing. Maybe it's just some guy's basement and he just. I don't know.
Well, even like the Spider-Man turn off the dark, and it's just like this. We can't have nice things anymore because of this obsession with just going over the same shit all over and over again. Like the idea that we need to make a fucking Broadway play out of Billy Joel's song. So we don't. We don't need to do that. We
but
need
think about Elf is not like a like hilarious story or. Like, I mean, it's a classic movie because of fucking Will Ferrell being Will Ferrell. Like, it's not like you can't put anybody else in that movie and it's good. Nobody else can be good in that movie. Like, next on the list was Martin Short, and it would have been awful. And I don't know if that's true. So I don't get it.
It's just like we can't have any nice Andrew Lloyd Webber stuff anymore. We can't have any nice Broadway plays anymore because people want to go and see fucking all the movies they already saw, but in, you know, but the Broadway theater version, it's, it pisses, yeah, not that I like Broadway plays at all, but, you know, like, you know, thank God for stuff like Book of Mormon and, you know, original stuff that's coming around.
Yeah, Book of Mormon was really good. That, on the other hand, was spectacular. Another one I saw, this one is probably one that you'd hate, Adam, is Motown. So Motown play. It's just fucking people like Diana Ross impersonations.
So like Jersey Boys?
It's kind of like Jersey Boys. Yeah. Yeah. My dad loved it because, you know, he was that age. I don't know. Fuck it. Well, let's talk about music videos. Let's talk about fucking music videos, you guys. Let's talk about some ones we liked.
Well, I liked the Demi Lovato "Let It Go" one. I thought that... I'm actually working on...
Even with the clips...
Yeah, I'm actually building a feature into the site using the MovieDB. I have a developer account with them. IMDb famously does not have an API, which we would use to pull information. But I'm trying to work on a feature where we'd like tie it to a movie because I think that I don't know. I have no problem with the movie clips in videos, and I think it definitely like helps highlight the nature of. You know, the commercial aspect of a music video, and it definitely also helps. You know, movies are big business, and they don't hang around with stuff that sucks. You know, they don't tie themselves to. There's no like fucking like independent short film that has clips from, you know, Frozen in it. You know, so it's a promotion piece because people watch it. And I think having, you know, not every music video I think needs to have clips from a movie in it, but I don't mind having, you know, one or two a week that are movie tie-ins. I think it's sure. Good for the industry.
Yeah. And they heat up around this time with the Christmas style movies, and they heat up obviously before the summer with the summer movies. But yeah, it was I agree. I think it works. I like it. I like it better when they try to at least fit it into the narrative a little bit. Like, do you remember the Baddest Man Alive music video with Black Keys and the RZA, directed by Chris Mars-Pilero?
Oh, that was a good video.
That's a good one.
Yeah, now that's tied in a little bit with and they've just got the film playing on the TV in the background. So I like that. I like that better. It's a great video. All right, let's talk about the ones we liked. Let's talk about what was your favorite video this week, ASAP?
Oh, I'm going first.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta find it. I gotta. I kind of.
All right, Alexander.
Oh, favorite of the week. It is. What the heck is it called?
Fragments of Self. It was.
Yes, that's the one. How did you know?
I was a guess.
I probably shared it 10 times to Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah,
it's a great video.
That was definitely the one. I'd seen Adam wrote something about it somewhere. I think it was Google Plus, but he pretty much hit it right on the head. This is more of a visualization than it is an actual music video. It's not doesn't have narrative. It's just basically cool visuals that accompany the music, and in this case really well. I've seen lots of videos like this, but I think the way that they've divided the video into two kind of different segments, and the song is kind of divided that way as well. It's sort of an electronic, or what they call an IDM track, so it's got the skittery kind of broken break beat, kind of something like an Aphex Twin type sound. So there's two parts of the song. One is like a nicely played piano sequence, and then they have all the drums and the percussion that comes in later. So the video is divided as well. So the first part that accompanies the piano is like these cloudy kind of it's an effect I'd seen before, but it works really well in the context of the video. So it's kind of like different liquids being injected into one another and creating like cloud-like effects. And then once the percussion comes in, we get these cool kind of gyrating circular shape type effects that match the beat really well. And I just thought it had a really cool kind of way of bringing everything together into one thing. And for some people, probably making this music a little bit more tolerable. I don't think that type of a genre music is widely appealing, but with the visual, I think more people would be able to appreciate it. So yeah, that one was awesome.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Doug.
Well, I was just going to say that it was really jarring, like this, the second part of it, the middle portion with like all of that like data moshing style sound. I almost felt like I wasn't sure if it was actually part of the song or if it was just like additional audio that they put in to kind of go with the imaging, and that kind of speaks to like how well the images they chose go with the music, because it is really like jarring music. And so yeah, it was really, yeah, it was really, really, yeah, I really enjoyed this one as well.
And it should be noted that this kind of visual music is actually kind of an interesting subgenre of, not of music videos, but of, you know, visual art in general. There's a site that I'll link to in the on the show page, imvdb.com/podcast, called the visualmusicarchive.org. I don't know if you guys have ever checked this site out. It is a site about, you know, sometimes I touch on music videos, but a lot of it is like the kind of art installation side of, you know, audio. They refer to them as kind of kinetic images a lot. And it definitely, you know, this video definitely shares a lot of those same, you know, pieces with a lot of these items. Yeah, they'll definitely talk about, you know, like Michel Gondry and you know, kind of your more typical music videos, but they've got some pretty crazy stuff on here, so definitely take a look. Douglas Klinger.
Ooh, it's my turn. All right. My favorite of the week came out today, and it's directed by David N. Hellman, and it is Asphyxiated. Did you guys watch this video?
You gotta say that again, because I think it cut out.
Fucking stupid ass internet. Why'd you guys break the internet? My favorite video of the week was directed by David M. Hellman. It is by Moors, and the song is Asphyxiated. Did you guys watch this video?
I did.
I did as well.
It's kind of a darker, kind of moody music video. I used the word moody today to describe it on Facebook and Twitter. I found myself kind of drawn to these videos that kind of establish like these feelings and like in like within the world of the video that that kind of carry throughout, and it does a great job of like just capturing like this really spooky kind of vibe, and it's like uncomfortable vibe, and Moore is in the video. I described it as being very stoic. He seems to kind of just be like accepting the world around him. He doesn't seem too high or too low. At points, he's kind of submerged underwater, and there's in the audio track that in the song, there's like heavy breathing and that kind of thing. But he's not very like struggling. Similar to the way Justin Timberlake plays the being dragged behind the car in last week's Ryan Reichenfeld directed TKO, very stoic demeanor. And, you know, as Morris performs the song, he's kind of looking, He doesn't look in the camera. He's kind of looking off into the distance in other directions. Yeah, just a really interesting, well-made video, and I really enjoyed it this week.
David M. Hellman is a great director. I'm always excited to see when one of his videos comes out.
Yeah, he's really kind of starting to establish like a voice that's pretty recognizable. And yeah, I'm a huge fan of David's for sure.
So mine of the week, I had a hard time picking mine because I thought there was of the top ones. I didn't see really one of the top ones, but once you got to like 20 or like past the first few pages of the charts, there's some really interesting stuff. And the one that I eventually ended up going with is Tao and the Get Down, Stay Down, Feeling Kind. Feeling Kind is a song, and this video is just one of those videos that on paper doesn't seem very interesting, but the concept and execution of it, just because of the people in the video and just the overall style, just make it really fun and interesting to watch. Basically, it takes place on a bridge, and these people are going back and forth. And what I assume is Tao is the lead singer woman, is kind of in the foreground for most of it. And it's really difficult to describe. There's all sorts of really kind of weird elements to it. It's one of those videos that comes out this time of the year that kind of gets buried a little bit. I think we have the Stereo Gum in Bed from Vimeo, and it's only got like 5,500 views. And it came out a few days ago, so it's got a little bit buried and everything. But as I was going through a few hours to go to kind of narrow down my final choice, just really enjoyed this video. The other one that was runner up for me, I just wanted to mention because it has Michael Key Schmidt in it, and that is where is it? I think it's called here it is. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm gonna search Michael Key Schmidt.
I saw the email and you responded to it.
Well, I already had it in the database before that.
Schmidt.
So Michael Key Schmidt is of Tim and Eric fame,
And also of Film Dinsert Takes LA fame.
Film Dinsert Takes LA fame, definitely. God, something's wrong with my the way I've got everything ordered here for today, or in the. Database. Anyway, I can't remember Frosted Tips. That's the name of it. Frosted Tips.
Oh, excellent one. Yeah, that was a good choice.
Where it's going down the windows and by Caliphone, and it's directed by Jared Varava. Michael Key Schmidt plays a guy, of course, and like a wife beater who's jacking off in one of the windows. But it is it's one of those kind of concept videos where it has a concept and goes with it, and the concept is this potted plant is falling down, and as it falls, you see different things happening in these different windows of this big
building. Well, and it's the guy that jumped too, right?
Right, the guy that jumped, yeah.
And the potted plant. Yeah, that's important, I think.
That is important, sorry.
The guy jumps and the yeah.
I thought that was a really really great video, and one that didn't get a lot of as much attention, I think, as it deserved this week. Michael Key Schmidt, like I said, is of Tim and Eric fame. He played Winter Man and a few Raise the Roof Guy, and he's always good about letting us know when he's in music videos, which is great because he's been in some really good music videos, and he's sort of usually cast as kind of a large, slovenly guy. They usually like to have him take his shirt off and sit at a. What was he? He was in that Robbie Starbuck video where he was. He's like at a big table with all sorts of food, and they I guess the direction they gave him was just like eat all this food, and he's like stuffing chicken wings and stuff in his face. Anyway, oh yeah, Michael Key Schmidt added himself to this video as Horny Man in Window. So we'll go with that. So there we go. That was good. There's always gold in the mountains when you go through the list. It's amazing how many unbelievable music videos come out that only get like a few thousand views,
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, actually. Like, I mean, I'm sure like they eventually come around and that kind of thing, but it is weird that that's how they do. They just slide under the radar. But you know, they go on. They live on in the database. So that's
That's
awesome.
inspiring.
Yeah, we provide inspiration.
And so I guess I'll leave you with the headline on HuffPost Canada. It's a quote. The main headline, Huffington Post always says the top, the one. It says, Robbie is not a drug addict. So good luck with that, Toronto. So I guess we'll see you guys next week. Follow us on the Twitters, the Facebooks, the Pinterest, because we have some great crochet music video crafts for you to try. Definitely impress all your friends this holiday season with all our music video crafts. And there we go. We'll see you guys next week.
See you next week.